This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Jensen Jepson Crowe.
And I'm Vicky Marie Buchanan. So welcome back, Jensen. Last week we were talking about your childhood and those early days of being at school and what it was like there, and little thoughts and images that you had there of reading books and things. So then you shifted 7 years in Greytown, and then you shifted to Otaki.
And now I was rural. No longer living in the township.
Right.
And that was a little bit of a shock to me, and it remained a bit of a shock to me, because we didn't have the park down the road. I couldn't go off there, sneak away, go outside, and then my mother looking for me and finding that she's not here, and then having to go to look for me, which she had done so often when I was in Greytown. And here, I was on a farm, and you had to walk such a long way to find any neighbours. However, I did strike up a friendship with a little girl called Anne Jensen. She was just lovely, and I would go to her place sometimes to play after school.
School was?
At Otaki, and we had travelled by bus.
Right.
And she was in my class at school, and we caught the same bus to school. And there were no other girls around in our age group.
Oh, gosh. So you were in a class of mixed
abilities and mixed ages. That was very apparent. I certainly never had any trouble with the reading, but now I found trouble with maths. Okay. Somehow I had got quite confused about number. And it didn't come right at all whilst I was in Otaki. In fact, I can remember adding up, multiplying, all those things didn't make much sense. It had become a huge problem for me, and I didn't bother saying anything to anyone.
All right.
And so I went through the 2 years I was in at Otaki school, probably turning out the worst maths.
And you were now 9 years old?
Coming up towards nine, yes. Right. Didn't have a clue.
Right.
And I could use money. I didn't have problems with that.
Right.
That made good sense.
So you were living on a farm and you felt very isolated.
Absolutely.
And you had a friend.
Yes.
So how did you have fun?
Well, we had some neighbours next door. And then son, Peter, was about a year younger, and then he had a sister about 2 years younger again. So she was just starting school. And I was allowed over there too. And so I would often, if I wasn't allowed to Anne's place after school, I would go over to their place. Now, their mother was quite influential with me, in that she grew a beautiful garden, and I was allowed to pick the flowers from a particular garden. Whenever I went, I would go to her and say, what garden can I pick flowers from today? She would tell me which one. Then I would take the flowers, get a saucer, fill it up with sand. I had a poultry farm, they did have a sand heap. Put the sand on it, and then I would make different arrangements, and I would do this, and I'd do this with their daughter. That was my first interest there. Then I went and see a little girl had started school. Oh, I found I could teach her, and she had a few books, and so we place schools. And I like that. I'd give her printing to do. I'd give her this, all this work to do. And she loved it. And so what with playing schools and flower arrangement, those two things actually became my choice and became my choice of career.
Ah.
When I was older, no longer was I able to compete in the athletics. I wanted to, but we only had our Model T truck still.
Yes.
And with four of us to clamber in it, it wasn't much room. And to get to athletics meetings was not convenient. So
right, right.
That side of me was completely forgotten about, and right. I felt a little bit resentful about that. However, the children, two families that I did meet, I did spend a lot of time with. And I can remember, yes, the neighbours would also take me sometimes to three or four times a year to Sunday school.
Right.
Younger family would, and they were strong Anglican, and I would go to their Christmas parties, their Easter ones, and whenever there was a festival type
thing,
and I would join them.
So how long were you there for?
How long were we there again? About 2.5 years, maybe 3. Till I was 10, anyway, seven till 10, and it was a much quieter time in my life. I can remember we had a lovely patch of native bush on the property, and I would spend quite a lot of time in there.
Right,
and I found out a lot about how different plants had their flowers. There was one tree that the flowers virtually came out of the trunks and the branches. It would just have a little shoot.
It
would have these lovely yellowy, pale yellow lemony flowers, which would come out of it, which was just beautiful.
Do you know what name it was?
No, I don't. I really don't know what name it was. I wasn't interested in their names. I was interested in how they grew.
The beauty of them.
Yes. And I would spend a lot of time in there looking at the plants there. Also, because it was a stud horse farm, I would watch my father breaking in the horses. Ready for the yearling sales. I would remember that we had three house cows. But that was also for milk for the horses that Dad would sometimes mix a little bit of milk in with their mash when he was hard feeding them. And he gave them hard feed at particular times to improve their coats. And I noticed the difference between the previous stud horse owner, because he stayed on for about 6 weeks. After Dad had arrived there, there were two houses on the property. And I can remember Dad being very upset at the way he was breaking in the horses. And said, and he would growl. Now, and I would see the horses, the young horses, break through the railings when the other stud chap would crack a whip. Now the following year I was waiting for all this to happen. It didn't happen. Little did I know that my father had been, from the day they were born, was already training the horses. So that they never did need that breaking in. That he used to go out into the paddocks and I'd see him talking to the horses and he'd be stroking them when they were little and with their mares and what have you, and was very calm, so that there was never any of this wild whip cracking type of behaviour and what have you, and putting the saddles on them, that sort of thing. There weren't the horses rearing up, there wasn't the, this and it wasn't until I was older, and I can remember talking to Dad about that, And he said, horses are just timorous. He said that was completely the wrong way. However, I was under him for 6 weeks.
Mm.
He said, and that was so wrong. He said the treatment of the horses was definitely not the way for it to happen.
So why did he leave there?
Why did he leave? Because it was time to move on. He was progressive, and it was time to go on to his own farm.
Right. Oh, right.
And that was the dream. They'd been saving their money all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They still owned their house in Greytown, and they'd virtually paid that off by now.
Mm.
And so they had the deposit for a farm.
Oh.
And so that was why we moved on from there. Although I do remember Dad was actually, the week he bought the farm at Ohau, he was offered a job in Australia being the man in charge of a very, very big stables, in fact a group of stables, and this was from a lady who'd bought, she'd been to the yearling sales in Wellington, and Dad had always gone down there, and he'd talked to her and said, look, if you want a good horse, take this one, don't, these are the horses.
Yeah.
And she had got them, and they had been a success.
Right.
And that's why she had wanted him to come over. But I can remember Dad's, the conversation was, well, he'd already bought his own property and he was moving on.
Yes.
And but horses was my father's
passion.
Cows he was fine with, but horses were what it was.
And, was it another horse?
No. Dad took, we moved there to Ohau when I was 10. And of course, I loved it. I had seen the area as a very little child, going from Otaki to Levin for the day. And I travelled along and I saw the Cuckoo Dairy Factory. I saw up East Road into the hills, a market gardener on the right, and down the road was a marae. I hadn't really seen a marae since I'd lived in Greytown, or I'd seen them in Otaki, but I had no connection with them there. I had in Greytown, and I just thought this was the most wonderful place to be. And lo and behold, if that's not where Dad had bought the farm. So I felt very, very happy. Again, the athletic side never came back because it was too far and unable, and milking cows was right at that time.
Yes.
So I given that part up.
Still doing a bit of gardening.
Oh, gardening. Now Dad was really into gardening because he had a plot down by the cow shed, and he grew crops there using the moon.
Right.
And he would know exactly when things would be ready for Christmas. Gardens were always planned around celebrations during the year.
Right.
And so the crops would be ready then. So our first potatoes were always dug up Christmas week.
Yes.
We would have corn, the first of it coming ready then, and so would the peas.
Yes.
And it was quite a large area.
Yes.
It really was.
Yeah. Has that rubbed off on you?
Yes, it did. It did, because Dad didn't have time to do around the house.
Mm.
My mother, being Scottish, didn't know much about gardening at all, because the climate didn't induce. But I'd lived in Otaki, and Mrs. Aldworth had these gardens.
Yes.
And so I wanted gardens, and Dad said, well, you can.
Yes.
And so I grew gardens.
Yes.
Right, they were just around the house. I wasn't allowed to dig up new parts. But I could put in them what I liked.
So what did you put in?
Well, dead walk chrysanthemums, and I would plant those. And he would also help with those because he did grow them some for a short while commercially as well. Asters, we tried that. They were commercial. Ted was growing those to supplement the farm income to start with. Gladioli.
Yes.
But then I would be allowed to grow freesias and other things around. And I would save seeds. And then I started experimenting, taking cuttings of things. As a 10-year-old, I would cut little pieces of different plants and put them in water. And it wasn't long that I'd found out that when I put them with the willow, because I was trying to grow willow trees too. I loved them.
Yeah.
But Dad hated them and said, no, they just block the drains. They just have any of those. And I keep going, oh, but I've got some, Dad. I've grown them.
They love
No. But when I put other plants in the jars of water that I had, and they had willow in them, they rooted more quickly. So the hormones that the
willows
were excreting was going into the water.
Yes.
And these other cuttings would grow roots.
Wow.
And I found that out myself.
Yes, well done you.
Completely, but yes, by accident.
Yes.
By mixing the two because I wanted to grow some willows. I loved willows. They were so nice to sit under down by the creek.
Yes, I know.
They were just beautiful.
Yes.
And they wouldn't have
wonderful to sit there and read a book, isn't it? But not quite.
The other one I wanted to grow but never got was walnuts because Dad said they just take too long.
Yes.
However, we did grow quite an orchard size, you know, three or four peach trees, three or four plum trees, three or four apple trees.
Right.
We had them all grown around the house. We had a huge section. And it became my job to mow the lawns. Initially with a hand mower.
Wow. How much land?
Oh, must have been probably 3/4 of an acre.
Yeah, it's a big.
It was a big section. It was a big area. Could have been, probably about 3/4, because it had all the fruit trees and things in it. And then he bought a mass sport mower. Well, that was really hard.
Yeah.
It was very heavy, and fuel fed, and I can remember you could go made beautiful long runs. So I used to cut the lawn in very long strips, and then when I got to the end I would have to actually lift it up on, leave the engine running, and turn it on its little front rollers and then turn it around and then drop it down again and walk. And it was a really heavy machine.
They are, aren't they?
Yes, it was a very, very big machine and did require quite a lot of strength. But that's the way it was. And it was easier than the push mower.
So you felt quite isolated and lonely in Otaki. What about Oha?
Still felt a little bit. However, the Chinese girl just down the road, she was the, and there were some two girls from down at the dairy factory. And so we would team up at her place, we'd all meet.
Right. So there was a dairy factory in Oha.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And
so we would meet, and then I had the opportunity to go to Sunday schools. We had only just arrived there, and Mrs. Lewis came along and invited us to go to the Baptist Sunday school, and I said, yes, I'll go there. And then once we'd been down to the marae, probably you would call him the chief's wife, said, would I like to go to the Maori Sunday school? And I was the only Pākehā one there. And I said yes, and that was Wednesday's afternoon. And we would get the school bus to stop outside her gate, and oh my goodness, it was a party every Wednesday. Before the Sunday school teachers had arrived from Ōtaki, we would sit down to this feast.
Oh.
There'd be Māori bread. There would be sultana cakes. There would be glasses of orange juice. Yeah. It must have cost her a lot of money to put on the spread.
Right. How many?
And it would be 10 or 12 children there, and there was this huge spread. She'd do all the dishes. We'd sit down on a bench beside the table. She was amazing. What she did, and she was an elderly lady.
Wow.
And she was bringing up three of her grandchildren there then. And we actually all called her Granny Wehepiana. And I remember that birth really fondly. With such fondness. She had a lot of fruit trees in her yard. Oh, and some days we'd be naughty and we'd go out there, because she seemed to be trees full of them. We'd throw plums at each other and she'd growl at us. A couple of times, I think we went there once, and some school teacher hadn't been able to come for some unknown reason, and their granddad had a little boat and so we put it in the creek. And we were sailing down the creek, and my brother had popped his head up as we went under the willow tree, and he caught the branch and we all tipped out.
Oh!
He got very, very wet.
So did you.
And we snuck it, but we snuck back to the house, and we tried to dry him in front of the heat, and we must have nearly cooked him. I remember that. So, but we did have lots of fun.
Yeah, lots of fun.
Lots and lots of fun.
And lovely creative
and
fun too.
And then whenever there were functions on at the Marae, we were always invited and part of it. And over the years we got to know everyone who lived up our road, because we were the only phone on our road.
Right. And so was it one of those ones that you
Yes, it was one with you round the handle, and it was a party line, and I think there were 10 people on it.
Yes.
And
what was your number, can you remember?
76R.
Yeah. Can I? It's just in there.
76R was our phone number.
Yes.
And there was an S one too we had at one stage.
Yes.
And I can't remember which one was this short, long, short.
Right.
But that was the one we had the longest.
Right.
And whatnot, and we would take the messages for everyone up our road, or my mother would, and then we had in our wash house a series of flags, and we would put out the flag to say there was a message at our house at the gate.
That's clever.
So that when they came up or the road or down the road, they would know that there was a phone message for them at our house.
Right. Yes.
So, and they would come and they'd pick up the flag and they'd put it back in their wash house. So that's how they had to bring it back in.
Yes,
And when they picked up their phone message.
Oh, lovely community thing.
It was. We did a lot of community things.
So Oka you were there 10 years.
Yes.
Right.
Well,
but you've still
I arrived there when I was 10, and I was stayed there till I was 21, and then was married at 21.
Right. So you went right.
Oh, yes,
right,
although apart from 2 years at Teachers College.
Right. So then, so you were at Oha, was there an Oha primary school?
Yes, there was.
Right.
And that was a four teachers school. And our initial classes must have been about 30, maybe 35s, and whatnot. By the time my sister was going through there, the infant teacher had ended up with 50 children in her room.
So all these communities are
They were growing so quickly, and there were no teachers, and there was no more buildings. It was an interesting school.
Right. Can we just go back to that about the no buildings? Because I think we started off just post-war or in the war and post-war, and there was a limit. There was a limitation on paper, and so you were doing a lot on blackboards and things,
blackboards,
weren't you?
Yes.
And then Aotaki, you could hide under the radar
you
a little bit.
You could hide under the radar because there were so many of us in the class.
Right.
There were big classes, and you could just
and big ranges.
Hide under and range of ability, but reading was really easy for me.
Was there also a limit on resources? I mean, what decade
was
that?
There was a huge limit on resources. So in fact, there were only books for reading, virtually at Aotaki, were school journals.
Right.
And it was a little journal that you kept, very little, very thin one, and that used to come once a month, if I remember rightly. The school journal. They had very good stories. I loved them. I couldn't wait to get to my next new journal. Mm. Then they had a library service where the teacher ordered in books.
Right.
And it wasn't when I was actually at Aotaki when I suddenly realised that there was a big range in ability because the Baba, the elephant book.
Right, yes, yes.
And it was all in French. Oh. And this little girl in my class said, get this book, it's really good. So I said, right, I'll get this book. So I got it, and I didn't look at it, I just picked it up, took her advice, and I went home. Well, I could read the words, but the words didn't make sense. Not one bit. And I can remember taking it from my mother, and I said, this book is really silly. It's full of silly words.
Right.
And I said, some of the words are very hard to read. And she said, well, it's French. I said, what is French? And that's when I realised that that girl, obviously had no reading.
No.
She didn't read at all.
No.
And that's why she'd said, you'll love this book. Yes, you'll love it. She had looked at the pictures. The pictures were lovely.
They're pretty little
but
pictures.
She was looking at the pictures.
Yeah. What decade was that? Was that in the
50s? That was 50s, yes.
50s.
So there were children. There were children who weren't able to read in that age. Mm. And with those of us who had learnt.
Right. Right.
And there was a huge range, and I guess the teachers with their bigger classes and the fact that they were too big to group virtually.
Yes, yes.
And you were just taught in a mass, so if you didn't care, pick it up, well, you were like me, you just sat there and just did play with the numbers. And
there weren't the resources there.
And the classes, and there were no new buildings being put in.
Right, okay.
There was still nothing, no building.
In 50s,
going on in the schools.
No
new buildings.
So there was still economically in the communities,
but
too.
Communities were growing.
Right, and so income was getting a little bit stronger.
Income was getting much stronger. Mm. Yes, yes. In fact, I can remember by the time how the income was. Where most people were reasonably okay.
Right.
This is part 2 of 3. Listen next week for part 3. Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.